Or no tax.
Polls. Every week we probably tell you about five different ones. Funny thing is about them, sometimes they are dead on target. The new Gallup poll comes out. Low numbers for President Obama. I'll break them down for you. Sad news for Senator Harry Reid, a car accident involving his wife and daughter. His wife apparently is still in serious condition. She broke her back and a couple of other things as well. And the daughter is okay. She was released. But, boy, you hate to hear that kind of news, certainly. It had something to do with a semi truck. We'll tell you more about that later on as we roll through here. Everybody's talking about Jihad Jame and the fact that she was all over the net for actually a couple of years. And once again, it's the same story, and you heard it in our last show. Neighbors just shocked, not believing it, or didn't know her very well and said they had no idea that this was going on right in their neighborhood. But that's the beauty of the internet. It's such an anonymous thing, and unfortunately, people use it for all kinds of reasons. So that's where we begin here on America Tonight. My name's Kate Delaney. If you've never listened to the show, well, welcome aboard. The good thing about America Tonight is it's water cooler best, like we like to say, at its best. And you have a chance to chime in at any point with your opinions, thoughts, or anything that might make us laugh, to be honest. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Hey, the good news is if you do tell us, you know, a one-liner, or you have some kind of a joke, you can't get gonged on this show. You just get the crickets. So that's better. That's better than getting that gong, right? Let's talk a little bit at the top about politics as usual out of D.C. Day after day, the whole enchilada rests on health care. There is no question about that. And you have now pro-life House Democrats who say the Senate health care bill is dead on arrival. No thanks. Nancy Pelosi, feeling pretty confident just a couple of days ago, saying that she could deliver the House votes necessary. So that reform bill that was passed by the Senate on Christmas Eve won't fly in the House. You've got six anti-abortion Dems who say they're going to join the ranks of the rest who plan to vote against the legislation. They will not change their minds. So that bill, it was pretty sticky when it went through the Senate, and now there's no way with some of what's included in there, particularly as far as abortion is concerned, there's no way it will pass. Now, of the six, you have Congressman Bart Stupak from Michigan, whose anti-abortion amendment to the House version of the legislation, remember, got the bill passed last year. And in addition to Stupak, there's another congressman, Dan Lipinski from Illinois. He's also been very verbal about this, gone flat out on the record as changing his vote to no if asked to pass that Senate bill, which a lot of people say doesn't go far enough to forbid tax-funded abortions. And Lipinski easily said, look, protecting the sanctity of life for me is a matter of principle, and I will not vote for this. See, we knew this all along. That why are they telling us that this is just, you know, a few minds have to be changed in the House, but this should go through? It's like these crazy deadlines. You know, the boy who cried wolf, I wouldn't even give deadlines anymore. Why are they giving deadlines? If you remember the legislation, actually, when it went through the House, it was pretty tight, that vote, 220 to 215. Since that time, four yes votes have gone. Four are gone. So, and then you look at former Congressman Eric Massa from New York, who voted against it last year. He resigned this week. So really, the passage would mean 216 votes. That's what would have to happen. And that House bill does have a ban on tax-funded abortion, which has been pretty much the law if you go look it up. It has been the law. I double-checked on this today to see how long it had been, and it's been that way for 30 years. So the Senate bill would be a big leap, a big change. And the Senate bill specifically, so you understand the language, America, it would require women to have a separate private insurance policy if they want abortion coverage, but it doesn't have any explicit ban, let's say, on tax-funded abortion like the House bill does. The House bill is very, very clear. So I think if they don't change that, I don't see how they get to that number, unless my math is different than everybody else's, or somehow some Republicans change their mind, but that's not going to happen. There's no way. I mean, that's the deal. You have to have the Democrats in the House to make that portion of it go through. So I'm thinking more and more, even with reconciliation and still needing the House on board, there's a great chance. I would stop with the deadlines. There's a great chance that this is dead on arrival anyway, period, end of story. So as much as the president keeps pumping this and traveling around the country, he just may end up with a serious egg on his face the more he does that, unless some people change their minds and decide to vote yes for it. But, man, it's not looking this way. And, you know, there's a lot of, let's say, calculating happening in the Hill as to what ultimately, how much is this going to cost? Because I think healthcare is doomed anyway. I think the healthcare reform is doomed. But let's say, for argument's sake, one of the other problems is the guesstimates. How much is this going to cost? And even the Congressional Budget Office is very vague on it. They say they don't have all the information they need. So now there's this nonpartisan study that's saying, you know, this pledge not to raise taxes on the middle class, man, it's not looking good. With what's being discussed out there, how is that even possible when you think of the amount of money that would be needed? Specifically, it's all tied to the health care. And President Obama's initiative is going to hit the wallets of a lot of Americans making less than that $200,000 a year, according to some of this analysis done by the Joint Tax Committee. And again, this is nonpartisan. It's not right. It's not left. It's not anything in between. Nonpartisan. It's strictly based on looking at numbers. This is what they're saying, how it would hit the wallets of the so-called middle class. The committee determined that the bill would subsidize insurance premiums for 7% of taxpayers. So let's see, 7%, let me do my math, that's what, 13 million people, while about 73 million people would face higher costs from the new fees and, of course, the taxes. So what was promised would not be delivered, and ultimately, you know, how many families, 3 out of 4 families, would be stuck paying the bulk of this, and that is the middle class. I mean, these are the people that are right in between, and the Congressional Budget Office updated the cost tally. They're saying with the last-minute changes made to the bill before passing Christmas, even it upped the price to $875 billion from $871 billion. Also, they say that the bill would reduce the federal deficit by $118 billion over a 10-year period. Uh-huh. Stay with us. The interesting things happening here on this show, and it's coming up next.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from four levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy eight flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard around the world.
Before St. Patrick's Day. But what is St. Patrick's Day all about? Growing up in New York and New Jersey, hey, you know, everybody was Irish. I came from an Irish-American family, but everybody on my block wanted to be Irish. They all wore green. They were afraid of getting pinched. And they definitely liked the green beer and the parades. Any excuse to take off of school when we were kids and in high school. But I think people don't know too much about good old St. Patrick. What did he do 1,500 years ago? We are so pleased to have on our show absolutely acclaimed historian William Federer. And he is also the president of Amerisearch, and he has written a ton of books, including St. Patrick, The Real Story of His Amazing Life from Tragedy to Triumph. Thanks for coming on America Tonight, William. We appreciate it.
It's great to be with you.
Hey, the as I said, I think that, and you certainly would know better than I, you've done so much research on it, but what do you think is the biggest misconception about St. Patrick?
Well, the three-leaf clover was used to teach the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, three in one. And the fact that he was a missionary, that people think that, you know, that he found Ireland heathen, drew it, and left it Christian. Started 300 churches and baptized 120,000 people. And the fact that he was very courageous, you're used to seeing the Lucky Charms and the little, you know, magic guy on the cart, you know, the cereal box. But actually, he was in life-threatening situations at least a dozen times. The Druids tried to kill him. And he was very strong and strong in faith as well. But one of the other interesting things is the setting in which he lived. And that's sort of similar to what we're going through, that it was during the fall of the Roman Empire. Rome had been this empire that was 1,000 years old, you know, from 753 B.C. all the way up to 476 A.D. And Patrick was born, they think, around 389 A.D., so about less than a century before the fall of Rome. And Rome was being invaded by illegal immigrants. They were the Ostrogoths and Visigoths and Anglos and Saxons and Jutes. And as these different tribes began to invade the Roman Empire, they first would come across slowly and learn the Latin language and work as servants. Some of them were slaves. And matter of fact, the word Slav was the name for a glorious one, like Slovenia, Yugoslav, Czechoslav. And but the Romans had captured so many of the Slavic people and made them servants that it took the permanent connotation of slave. That's where the pronunciation came from. But anyway, as these different tribes came over the borders of the Roman Empire so fast that they didn't bother learning the Latin language, and they kept their own German, French, and Anglo languages. Meanwhile, Rome had its military stretched around the world, putting out these global fires, and they had a small military, but it was very mobile with the road system, and they couldn't sustain long and dry engagements, and so that's why the Romans had to raise taxes. And so one historian said the tax collector was worse than the enemy. So you're getting barbarians on one side and the tax collector on the other. And then the whole city of Rome was on welfare. That's how the politicians kept it in power. They would give away free bread. There's a saying, bread and the circus. And that's how they appeased the masses in Rome, bread and the circus. Well, now, the circus wasn't with clowns. It was the Circus Maximus, the Colosseum, where they had the bloody fighting to the death. And with gladiators and animals and, you know, throwing Christians in there before 313 when Constantine became a Christian. Then that the Christian part stopped. But they still had gladiatorial events, and they had a lot of immorality. Rome had a history, if you ever visit Pompeii, a lot of sexual immorality, and they had exposure of unwanted infants. This was their version of abortion, but the mother would bear the child, lay to the father's feet, and if he picked it up, they'd keep it. If not, the mother would have to get rid of the baby and put it out in the woods or in some pagan temple, and a lot of the early Christians would hear those babies and gather them up, and many became great leaders. Rome had outsourced all its grain production to North Africa. That was the grain basket. And when one of the tribes began to overrun the Roman Empire, the Vandals, that was actually the name of the tribe. You can imagine what they did when they went through town. They vandalized. That's where that word came from. But the Vandals captured North Africa, cut off the grain supply, and Rome was brought to its knees. Very similar today, we've outsourced everything to China. And imagine for a moment if China holds their ships back for 3 months, all of our Walmart shelves will be empty. Our entire retail industry will grind to a halt, and everybody will say, government, give them Taiwan, just get the economy going again. Anyway, so when the Vandals captured North Africa, brought Rome to its knees, and then to top it off, they began to have terrorist attacks. Attila the Hun, wiping out whole cities, and as a result, Rome had to call its legions, its troops, back from the frontier settlements to protect the city of Rome. And so Britain, which had been a Roman colony for a couple hundred years, was now left unprotected because the Roman legions left. And so here's where Patrick enters into the story. Different marauding tribes, sort of like Vikings, but they were actually a couple centuries later. But these marauding bands would attack in Britain and carry away thousands as slaves, and that's when Patrick was captured, taken to Ireland with thousands of others, and sold into slavery. And they think this is around 405 A.D., Patrick is now in Ireland, which is ruled by the Druids. Druids were believed in human sacrifice. They believed the woods were filled full of spirits that constantly needed to be appeased. every now and then they'd have to sacrifice a human to appease these spirits. But that's where that trick-or-treat came from on Halloween. I mean, Halloween came from the Druids. And they thought the spirits that inhabited the woods were like, you know, poltergeists and sprites and elves and leprechauns. So the leprechaun was more or less like the little demon, and if anything, Patrick would have chased him out, not pictured as one.
Sure.
But here's Patrick. He's 16 years old, and he's a slave for Milchu, who was a druid chieftain, and he would tend sheep. He'd be up in the mountains. He'd pray, and this is where he begins to remember the faith of his parents. Now, he confesses, later in life, he wrote his confessions, called The Confession of Patrick, and it's a document that all historians acknowledge that he indeed wrote. And sort of how, after he did all the great things that he did, the church leadership back in Britain accused him of not having been a believer as a teenager, and they wanted him to come back to Britain for a little sit-down talk, and he refused to go. He said God called him to Ireland as a missionary, and he was going to stay there. And so he wrote his life story and sent it. And so that's what his confession is. So had they not accused him, he never would have written it. Sort of like if Paul was never thrown in prison, he never would have written half the New Testament. But so here is Patrick. He's 16 years old. He's there in Ireland. He begins to remember his parents' Christian faith. And he prays, and he says many times a day he pray 100 times through snow, through frost, through rain, up in the mountains, in the woods and fields. And he said one time he was fasting, and he had a dream. And in this dream, he heard a voice telling him that his ship was ready and that he should escape. And so he leaves his master, goes a couple hundred miles to the shore. There's a boat putting wolfhounds on it to take to Europe to sell his hunting dogs, and he gets passage on the boat. The dogs obey him, and he gets shipwrecked. There's a storm, and he lands in southern France and Gaul, which was being, you know, attacked by Visigoths and different tribes. But after a few years, Patrick hitchhikes his way, if you can imagine that, you know, back to Britain. And so he's reunited with what's left of his family, and it's pretty uneventful till he turns 40 years old. And then at 40 years old, he has another dream, and he writes in his confession that in the midst of the night, he saw a man named Victoricus coming as if from Ireland with innumerable letters. And he handed one to me, and he said that he heard at that moment the voice of those who were beside the wood of Falkirk on the Western Sea in Ireland, crying, "Please, holy boy, come and walk among us again."
Wow. Hang on a second here, William. We have to step aside. Can you hang on for a few more minutes, and then we'll come right back to the story?
Sure.
And we'll finish it up on the flip side for just a few minutes, because it's probably way past his bedtime. We're so thrilled to have him with us. William Federer, historian, telling us all about St. Patrick. That's up next on ATN.
Listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Did you rob Bill Gates? DidYouRobBillGates.com is a worldwide internet system that can bring you both immediate cash and long-term passive residual income, earning thousands of U.S. dollars every single week. This automated system works for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the planet without inventory, shipping, billing, selling, or credit stress. Powerful and effective, our co-op marketing program works for us, and now it can work for you as well. DidYouRobBillGates.com is your global system for real success. Time to enjoy your life. Time to enjoy your family, travel, sports, fun. Bring the perks back to your life. Moms and dads worldwide, even those with zero experience, all plug in and watch in amazement as DidYouRobBillGates.com delivers success and abundance to their lives. Now, no matter where on earth you live, get to DidYouRobBillGates.com right now. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Saw Palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-257-7201. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. 1-800-257-7201.
We're continuing our conversation with historian William Federer about St. Patrick, who, in fact, he's written a book called St. Patrick, The Real Story of His Amazing Life, as we mentioned before, From Tragedy to Triumph. You were just, William, getting into the juicy stuff, and I am sucked into this tale, so pick it up when he's there in Ireland and what happens after that.
Well, about the same time Attila the Hun is attacking the Roman Empire is when Patrick, with a band full of guys, goes to Ireland. And his style of evangelism was top-down. In other words, he courageously would go right into the smoky dens of these Druid chieftains and preach to them in their own language, which he had learned when he had been a slave. And he went into the one, a King Longyear or Leary, and the Druids wanted to kill Patrick right away. They recognized this new religion would displace them from their position of influence with the chieftains, and so but this particular chieftain said, well, don't kill this guy. We don't get visitors that often, and here he's speaking our language. And so he converted and gave him a plot of land, and Patrick built his first church. And there were about 30 chieftains across Northern Ireland, and his very confrontational style resulted in them trying to kill him at least a dozen times. He said, daily I expect murder, fraud, captivity. They'd lay ambushes for him. One chieftain had soldiers in a valley that Patrick was going to cross through, and the next day the only thing they had seen go through was a deer, yet Patrick was on the other side of the valley. And so they call his prayer the deer's cry. Evidently he the story is that he was praying this prayer, and it's, you know, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ within me, Christ, you know, to guide me. And anyway, there's the famous contest at Tara, and the chieftain would have everybody extinguish their fires, and if anybody was caught with their fires still burning, they would get killed. Talk about a government that was pretty encroaching into your lives here. Well, this particular evening when everybody's fires were extinguished and they're all going to the Druids with gifts to get coals to relight their fire, Patrick goes to the highest hill and lights a bonfire. And the hill's still there to this day. It's called Croag Patrick, which means Hill of Patrick. And so he lights this bonfire, and everybody says to the chieftain, well, what about that guy? And so the chieftain sends 27 chariots of men up to kill Patrick. And the 6th century historian Marucci says that as they came, Patrick cried in a loud voice, may God come and scatter his enemies. And 7 times 7 men fell. And the king, driven by fear, came on bent knee before the holy man. And so that was Patrick's style. Another one was where the Druid conjured up a fog, and the fog was so thick, and Patrick wasn't impressed. He said, well, now disperse the fog, and the guy couldn't. And so Patrick prays, and the cloud parts, and the light comes out. And then it says that the Druid was consumed with fire. I don't know where that came in, but nevertheless, the chieftain was all upset, and Patrick said, the same thing's going to happen to you unless you convert. And now, it's hard to, you know, separate fact from legend, sure, but these are the stories that were passed down, and nevertheless, Patrick did cause such an impact that Ireland became one of the most Christian countries. And it's interesting, the churches he started were very independent. You have to remember, Rome was being attacked, so these were not connected. They were stone walls around the community, and, you know, the stone church, and then a tower. And they would build these towers with the door about 20 feet up with a big wooden ladder. And when these marauding bands, you know, later the Vikings would attack, everybody would climb up the ladder into the tower, pull the ladder up behind them, and then let the marauding bands pillage for a while, and then they'd finally leave, and you'd climb back down and rebuild. And but these 300 churches are very independent. And after Patrick died, and of course he died on March 17th, they think around 461 A.D., and you know, sort of parenthetically, here we are 1,600 years later, still talking about this guy, the tremendous impact that he had. But in the next century, it was those churches that he started that sent missionaries back to England, to Britain, to evangelize the Scots and the Picts and the Anglos and the Saxons, and then back into Europe. One of the Irish missionaries was named Columbanus, and he started over 100 mission outposts, monasteries in Europe, which converted those heathen hordes that had overrun the Roman Empire. So it sort of came full circle. I have my book where I quote excerpts from Thomas Cahill's book, How the Irish Saved Civilization. But this idea that, you know, Rome was conquered by these heathen hordes, Ireland was this little outpost, but then Ireland sent the missionaries back. And I could go on. It's a fascinating, fascinating story. That now, in 1846, there was an Irish potato famine. And millions of Irish Catholics came to America.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you about that. I didn't interrupt you, but the potato famine, I mean, there's even a famous memorial now. I've been to it several times in New York, which signifies all the different counties in Ireland. And I think most Americans understand that there was a potato famine, but I don't think they really know what was behind that whole thing. So, yeah, tell us about that.
Well, the potato came from the Yucatan Peninsula down in Mexico when Columbus and the Spaniards brought it back to Europe, along with chocolate and tomatoes and other things, and it was a plant that was a great source of protein and of carbohydrates, and so spread across Europe and Ireland. It was sort of unique. It was a part of Britain, and it was mostly Catholic, and so the British didn't let them vote and changed their laws of inheritance, where when somebody died, their property had to be divided up amongst all their children. And so that broke estates down so that there wouldn't be any rich lords that could challenge the monarch. That was the attitude behind it. Sort of like inheritance taxes, like, you know, what they wanted to pass here. But so the average farms in Ireland were very, very small, and potatoes were the best crop to get the most carbohydrates per acre. So everybody in Ireland was growing potatoes. And in 1846, there was a famine, and the famine killed all the potatoes. Millions of Irish died over in Ireland, and that's when there was this mass migration of Irish to America. They'd come to Boston, New York, and so forth. And now, in Britain, their numbers didn't make a difference. They didn't have the power to vote. But when they got to New York and Boston, then they began to have their first St. Pat's Day parade, and all the politicians said, wait a second, these people haven't decided what party to belong to yet, and they began to march in the parades, and so that's when their parades took on a political aspect that did allow them to rise within about 20 years, they constituted 50% of New York City, so it was a of course, St. Pat's Cathedral. St. Patrick's Cathedral is right there in New York. That's where Franklin Roosevelt married his fifth cousin, Eleanor Roosevelt, on St. Pat's Day. And it was Teddy Roosevelt that walked Eleanor down the aisle. He was president at the time. So St. Pat's Day in 1909 was a big deal there in New York. And up until 1964, the majority of immigrants to America, the largest source was from Germany, England, and Ireland. And it was after 1964 that they changed the quotas to enhance more people that would come and more or less become Democrats. So that's what the idea of helping different parties to stay in power. But one little interesting thing is that these the Druids were the chieftains, but they also had the laws, and they memorized the laws, and they would sing the laws, and they were called Brehons, which is where we get the word Brian. And when they converted to Christianity, these Brehon, judges would sing the gospel, and sometimes like memorize all 150 Psalms and sing them every day. And they'd have these huge choirs, and they would sing, and that's when the harp became the symbol of Ireland. And they used to say that even the angels would bend over their ears to the earth to hear the Irish sing. So when these missionaries began to spread to England and Europe, they not only took the gospel, they took the Code of Patrick, because Patrick took the laws of Ireland, but he combined them with the laws of the Bible and became the Code of Patrick. And this became the basis for English common law. And, of course, English common law became the basis for American law. So even Patrick influenced our legal system in America.
Wow, so you really have educated us tonight and filled in a few blanks for me, certainly, on the kind of influence he had. I knew some of that, but I certainly didn't know that you could take it all the way up to English common law. Fascinating stuff. Hey, one quick one. We're almost out of time, William, but have you ever been to the big parade in New York?
No, but my wife's half Irish. She's a half Callahan. And her mom was the oldest of 13 Callahans, and so I love the Irish because I married one. So
I love that. That's great. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, and thanks for giving us that history lesson. I'm sure the people across the country listening now are much more better informed on St. Patrick's. You enjoy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, thanks. And AmericanMinute.com is my website if anybody wants to get the book.
Excellent. AmericanMinute.com. Thank you. And again, the book is St. Patrick, the real story of his amazing life from tragedy to triumph. Hang with us.
We're now in 2010. Change is the buzzword. Politics are changing in the negative direction. How about positive change? Thousands of customers have experienced positive change. Yes, thousands. How? By logging on to GetTheTea.com. Thousands of people have lost weight or felt better or experienced extra energy just by drinking Life Change Tea. That's why they called it Life Change Tea, because it changes your life for the positive. Life Change Tea's natural ingredients go to work on your body, cleansing harmful chemicals and toxins from your system, which makes you fat and lethargic. Do you want a life change? Log on and join the thousands. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Oh, and by the way, it tastes great. So call us right now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is a proud member of the Better Business Bureau.
Is it safe to breathe anymore? Crowded public places, global pandemics, and news reports of potential new strains of bacteria and viruses make you wonder. What if there was a germ-killing nasal spray that acted almost like hand sanitizer for your nose? There is. It's called Sinofresh Homeopathic Nasal Spray, and it's a proven germ killer. Sinofresh is a revolutionary doctor-recommended nasal spray that kills a broad spectrum of viruses, bacteria, molds, and fungi on contact in your nose. Sinofresh causes no drug interactions, no loss of smell, no rebound congestion, contains no alcohol, is non-habit forming, and is safe for daily use. Sinofresh must be a part of your family survival plan. Go to GCNLive.com now and click on the Sinofresh banner. The first 1,000 customers to click on the Sinofresh banner and purchase Sinofresh antiseptic nasal spray are instantly registered to win a free 24-bottle case. Go to GCNLive.com and click on Sinofresh. Breathe free. Breathe safe. Use Sinofresh. It works.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
doing the air guitar thing, I have to admit. And all of you have now heard me sing, I think, with the O Canada deal, so you already know where I stand on that. No chance I would get a recording contract anytime soon, but we do have a lot of fun here in America tonight and talk about serious things and funny things. Hopefully you get a chuckle or two. And then some interesting bits of history, and I thought that was fascinating with William Federer talking about St. Patrick and realizing, wow, the amazing impact that he had. I read the book, How the Irish Saved Civilization, so I knew a lot of the Druid history and what had happened there and how he was under attack and he was a slave and all that sort of stuff, but I didn't realize how far-reaching things related to St. Patrick actually were, especially what reverberated, I guess, with the church and then the English common law, and then on to the big famous parade in New York City. A parade of a different kind in Greece. Boy, they have had a lot of riots, up to 60,000 people, plus they're saying in the streets. I was reading the Mail Online. It's one of the European papers. And they said it was pretty bad in Athens. They had lots of demonstrators and, you know, because, hey, the government is cash-strapped, baby. So you had kids that had masks and hoods pulled over their heads. They were punching and kicking the police, knocking some of the motorcycle cops off their bikes. And they responded with tear gas and stun grenades. Kind of got a little bit violent there. They ended up arresting a few people, and a couple of the officers were injured. Luckily, nobody was killed, but there was a definite standoff, and if I happened to see some of the pictures from it, you know, there was some fire set, and like I said, you could see the tear gas being shot, and you had rioters using sledgehammers to smash the glass fronts of a bunch of shops and jewelry stores and banks and that kind of stuff. So not good. I mean, 60,000 is a pretty big crowd, if you think about it. And then there were some peaceful marches earlier in the week, but this is the second time in a week that the country's been at a virtual standstill. Flights were grounded and public transportation was halted. State hospitals were on emergency staff. You know, they were all alerted, and riot police were there with their shields and ready for, you know, what could have been even worse. So you had the strikers and the protesters banging on drums, and they were chanting, things like "No sacrifice for plutocracy, real jobs, higher pay." And other banners read, "No more sacrifices, war against war." And it looks like it's getting pretty bad in Greece. And remember, the Greek prime minister was just last week visiting with Barack Obama. They had a little news availability, I'll call it, where he spoke to learning about the economic crisis and what he could learn from the United States situation. But here's the thing. The unions are saying that Greeks are being called on to pay a disproportionate price for the fiscal mismanagement. Sound familiar, doesn't it? We must save the banks. They're too big to fail. Yep. This could have been a shot in America somewhere based on the way so many people feel. And pretty gloomy stuff, because what are they going to do in Greece? I mean, they are drowning now as a result of stupid moves. Not enough. They had no money to back up what they were doing. So you had some private bank branches even trying to stay open. And it's, you know, it's nasty stuff in Greece. Even with the prime minister reaching out and trying to do whatever he can, they, you know, those backdoor deals have upset the people, because it's helped collapse their form of government, really. I mean, you know, the European and international support right now is kind of wavering. I mean, Greece is saying, hey, look, we don't need a bailout. We don't need a bail one. We don't need to be bailed out. But the Europeans, I don't think, want to really bail them out. But something has to happen here. I mean, something has to happen to change the situation because of the borrowing they were doing and with the bonds and like I said, how they're drowning in all this debt now at this point, and no way to find any refuge, I think, unless somebody bails them out. Even if they're saying they don't need a bailout, how are they going to right this ship? And that's why you have these kids in the street. And it, trust me, yeah, I looked at the scene and I thought, oh, this could be America. Remember all the outrage over the three dreaded letters, AIG and other big banks that we bailed out, Goldman Sachs, of course. We just want to wrap them all up, don't we? But we didn't see anything like that, like they've seen, and there is no bailout right now in their situation. They said they're going to figure out a way to get out of it. Ooh. Okay, so on the heels of that, of what's going on in Greece, Obama, who said, look, we had no choice, we had to do what we had to do, we had to follow through on it, especially because of the economic situation and I think healthcare reform that's really being shoved down everybody's throat. The Gallup poll, boy, that's going in the wrong direction. And the Gallup poll is the daily tracking deal they do on the percentage of Americans who approve or disapprove of the job that the president is doing. And right now, today, bleak numbers. You know, he went from the high of 70, which somebody coming into office, especially riding the popularity, okay, sure, absolutely, you could see that. But slowly but surely, he's had a couple of peaks where it's gone back up again. But now you're looking at numbers that are 45, 46, strictly just flat out, no mystery. Do you approve or disapprove of the job Barack Obama is doing as president? And regardless of what he says, the people around him certainly would like to see him, you know, be elected for another 4 years. You're always playing for the next turn. That's the thing. You're playing the next hand. You want to play the whole hand out, and I guarantee that they want to see that happen. But the further we stay in financial problems, and one day it looks like the sun is out, but in reality, geez, the numbers are really different. And, I mean, I think personally our monetary system, and even William Federer, he made reference to it. Can you imagine China just holding off the ships and not bringing in the stuff that stocks Walmart? What happens then? Anarchy in the streets. I have to finish up this one quickly because I mentioned it at the top, but Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's wife and daughter were hospitalized. Here's the scoop on Reid's wife, Landra. They were driving. Landra and her daughter, Lana, were driving when they were struck, rear-ended by a tractor-trailer truck on a highway in Virginia. And Mrs. Reid was in serious condition, but they think she's going to be okay, saying now that she's got a neck injury, facial cuts, and some other problems as a result of of being slammed by the tractor trailer. That had to be a scary phone call, huh? Can you imagine? Because they have a bunch of kids too. They have the daughter, but they also have four sons. So that had to be frightening news to hear while he's doing whatever he's doing in his normal day to get that phone call on the Hill. We certainly wish them the best in their recovery. Any thoughts on the show? You can shoot it to me at americatonight.net.
Disintegration.